Blog Talk Radio.
The Obama swoon, the flake flip, the Collins collapse, corporate lobbyist monies are more important than any other considerations.
That is the basis of our discussion this evening, and I would like to say that the picture of what's happening in America gets clearer and clearer. What we have learned is that neither party, neither liberal wing, if we can say such a thing, is going to save us. But first, what I believe. The overriding element in every situation or circumstance in a black life is racism. Birth, elementary school, housing, health, food, etc. Black lives have never mattered except during slavery and other circumstances where money is being made by our labors for others. The modern death penalty, 80% black, move lynching indoors. The police as the army of occupation have taken lynching outside again. The lynch mob is the racist system, including the courts and the media. And because the lives of our heroes and sheroes, who once protected us in our community, do not matter to us, the people, our political prisoners are now dying in captivity. They are tortured and isolated. Only armed struggle can recreate our image in our own minds as well as the minds of others. Wake up. Now is the time. Now, there is so much to talk about because, as I had said a moment ago, things are happening fast, and the situation of what America really is clearing up day by day. First off, the election of Mr. Trump. The real America stood up. They continued to show themselves with the advent of the issue of Brett Kavanaugh. But the fact of the matter is that issue showed its face a long time ago, I believe it was 28 years ago, with Clarence Thomas and what was happening with his credible accusation. We should not be in this position except for the cowardly Democratic Party who didn't want to challenge a black man, any black man, and Clarence Thomas is certainly any black man. Nothing special about him. But he claimed to be black. And we find that the Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, we find that Joe Biden, and all of those who were supposedly supporting Anita Hill didn't tell it all of what they knew. They only told a little bit so as to give the appearance of being supportive of Anita Hill. We all know now they did not support Anita Hill. We got the most right-wing of right-wing judges on the bench, a yes man for every right-wing legal question of the day. And now we find ourselves in position where there will no longer be a question of what the Supreme Court is going to decide. They will be deciding for the corporations. They will be deciding on the side of the right wing of America. And so, as Lynn Stewart so eloquently said many years ago, the law is whatever they say it is at any given time, and they're making sure that the law says the right-wing thing, that is opposition of unions, opposition of medical rights, opposition of housing, opposition, when I say housing, I'm talking about the money to be spent on people. The issues of people will be not in second place, but with this court, the issues of people will be in no place. And so we see the Republicans are feeling that this confirmation of Kavanaugh will strengthen them. They feel that the fight against Kavanaugh will improve their base, will energize their base to get out to vote. And I don't know. It's difficult to predict whether people are going to go along with the musings and the nonsense and the lies of Trump, or whether reality is going to catch up with America. The reality of Trump having his war, his economic war, his trade war with China, which is a losing proposition. Are we going to continue with Trump's wall, which is a losing proposition? Are we going to continue with hilltop mining, which is a losing proposition? Are we going to continue cutting the benefits, the medical benefits of all, which is a losing proposition? And will the people wake up and see that? And will the people awaken again to see that the Democrats are not doing anything about it? They are, as I say, Obama came in with the promise of hope and change. And as Glenn Ford correctly states, false hope and short change. And so with that as a background, we're going to open up the mic for people to give us their thoughts on what they see as happening in America as far as education of the people. First up, Larry Pinckney. Larry, Black Panther, do you have any information or any thoughts on the news for us this evening?
Well, thank you, Brother Ralph. I do hear you loud and clear. I hope you hear me as well. Want to thank everyone who's tuned in to the program, to the show. And as you know, I always hone in on political prisoners. That's my forte. That's what I'm about. I want to just tell you a bit about Leonard Peltier. I received a message, as I'm sure other people did, from Leonard's Defense Committee. I received it on the 8th, and the 8th of this month. I believe today is what, the 9th, so I received it yesterday. And I want to just talk a bit about, just read a little bit, not much, but the message said, dear supporters and friends, this is from Leonard, October 12th, 2018, said I wanted to send Leonard's greetings and thanks to all of his supporters that have proven, quote, Indigenous People's Day, unquote, reimagines Columbus Day, okay, and changes a celebration of colonialism, into an opportunity. I repeat, opportunity organize against current injustices and to celebrate Indigenous resistance. Of course, Indigenous resistance, unquote. Of course, Indigenous resistance has been going on for well over 400 years. And this is something that I think we all need to understand with respect to Leonard Peltier, who was first imprisoned in 1976. And I know this. I was in prison with Leonard Peltier, okay, at Ocala Prison in 1976. I was there with Leonard. His lawyer and my lawyer were the same lawyers, Stan Gunther and Judy Guide. All right? From 1976 onward, this brother has been struggling to get justice. But what do? And I say we collectively, we just all go on with our lives, whatever that means, lives in quotation marks, lives and lies, L-I-E-S. I want to urge everyone to please go to the International Leonard Peltier Defense Committee. Please, you can be updated on what the brother has done, both in the past, in the present, and hopefully what he will do in the future if he lives. So, having said that, I want to make a brief comment on what you, Brother Ralph, said. And, you know, I'm going to always hearken back to Barack Hussein Obama, who, in my opinion, my humble opinion, is probably the worst quote-unquote president that this country has ever had in this century, the 21st century. He has done more to set the struggle, the liberation struggle of not only black people, but poor people, no matter what their color, black, white, brown, red, or yellow. He has done more to set that struggle back. And I'm going to say again, as I've said many times, maybe not on this show, but certainly in writing, that the legacy of Barack Obama is Donald J. Trump. I mean, we just somehow seem to forget that we were brought here by the deep state Obama. And so having said that, I would urge all of us to be independent, free-thinking, critical thinking human beings. It's not about ideology, as far as I'm concerned, or what I often call idiotology. It's about principles. Are we principled or are we not principled? I hope that I am principled. But as I said, I hearken back to 1976 when I was actually in prison with Leonard at Ocala Prison, and he was principled then, and I believe the brother remains principled now. We're talking about many decades of imprisonment. So I'm going to end right now. Don't want to go on and on. I just want to say we've got to free our political prisoners. And if we don't, take it on yourself. If we don't struggle seriously, seriously, to free our political prisoners, stop all the nonsense. Just stop it. Because, you know, instances will come and instances will go. In other words, the media will push this, they'll push that, whatever. But we have a consistent struggle that we should be about. And that struggle should be about freeing our political prisoners. Now, having said that, I want to say happy birthday to our dear sister. I'm a day late. October 8th, Lynn Stewart's birthday. This sister was about it. She was about it. And we need to give her respect and remember the struggle that she engaged in and which we all should be engaged in. All power to the people. Free our political prisoners. Take care of, respect, and do all we can for Ramona Africa. Let us not forget her. Let us not forget the dues that she paid. Let us not forget the dues that any of our black, white, brown, red, and yellow political prisoners have paid and are still paying. All power to the people. All power to the people. Free our political prisoners. Free them now. Now. Not yesterday. Now. All power to the people. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for that, Larry. Lynn Stewart, presente. And talking about political poetry, we have our poet in residence, Raymond Nat Turner. Raymond Nat Turner, your mic is open.
Okay. I, too, echo Larry Pinckney and Ralph's message, Lynn Stewart Presente. And the piece I have tonight is called The Trickling Down of Jell-O Pudding Man. Once upon a time, wagons circled around the juice, and Bass Ackwards, Tom asked Clarence, "Today I see semi-circled wagons and hear tears and voices and explanations that don't explain. I feel like saying, Lady Daylight, hush now." You see, once upon a time, ketchup was a vegetable. Contras freedom fighters, Vietnam noble, bottled water, a crime of status as alphabet agencies flooded the hood with white powder, prison culture, murder music, the Reagan 80s, when Jell-O Pudding Man trickled down. Jell-O Pudding Man trickled down on a landscape littered with blood, bodies, caged men and women. Their heroic black liberation movement war exhausted. Jell-O Pudding Man trickled down, piling sugary skyscrapers of huckster bullshit on the black bourgeoisie's taste for franchises, subcontracts, soft leather seats in boardrooms, on alley black backs. Jell-O Pudding Man trickled down, and Teddy told me, and I'm paraphrasing, "I think you better let it go if it looks like another Booker TKO."
One more time, Sister Betty.
Just want to remind everybody that if you want to hear more of our poet in residence, Raymond Nat Turner, be there at the People's Forum, 320 West 37th Street, between 8th and 9th Avenue, from 5 through 10, Saturday, coming up, October 13th. This poet will be doing his thing. Thank you so much, Brother Nat Turner.
Thanks again. And next up, have Tom Syracuse. Tom, your mic is open. Are you in the house?
Yes, I am. Greetings to all my comrades. Being an Italian American, I'd like to make a few comments about Christopher Columbus and the indigenous people of the Americas. Now, last year, thanks to mostly the struggles of African Americans in the South to get rid of those statues of the leaders of the Confederacy, who had caused the bloodiest civil war in our history, or the bloodiest war in our history. The idea spread throughout the country to other statues, including that statue here in Manhattan on 59th and Broadway. Mayor de Blasio decided to have a survey to see what would be done with the statues, not only that one, but others. And so he initiated a survey for about 2 months, didn't release the results of the survey. Just a second, this damn computer. So instead of removing controversial statues here in the city, Mayor de Blasio decided to put plaques on those statues. These plaques would present a so-called fuller historical view. Well, the next time I'm near Columbus Circle, I will see if there is such a plaque on the Columbus Monument. Yesterday, Governor Cuomo announced that he wants to include the statue of Columbus at 59th Street and Broadway on the National Register of Historic Places. Cuomo said, quote, "The Columbus Monument is a powerful symbol of the Italian-American community and a testament to New York's role in assimilating immigrants all over the world." I'm organizing a committee of Italian-Americans to keep up this pressure to get rid of Columbus Day and supplant it with Indigenous Peoples Day, and make that, just as we made Martin Luther King Day a national holiday. People don't realize that the Columbus Day didn't become a federal holiday until 1937. Alaska, Hawaii, Oregon, South Dakota, and Vermont do not recognize this holiday. And Vermont and South Dakota have renamed Columbus Day as Indigenous Peoples Day or Native American Day. And many cities have already renamed the holiday, including Los Angeles, California, Santa Cruz, California, Seattle, Washington, Denver, California, Phoenix, Arizona, Salt Lake City, Utah, Austin, Texas, and just recently, the capital of Ohio, Columbus. Now, unless we understand and accept our history, this nation can never build a society that is free of prejudice and racism. Well, I'm not that naive. Considering that this nation was founded on exploitation, prejudice, and racism, and genocide, there will always be vestiges. But we certainly will not be able to alleviate or reduce these vestiges as long as we do not accept our history. And so I am organizing an Italian American committee to change, to get rid of Columbus Day here in New York City, and hopefully in New York State, although that would mean a re-education of Italian Americans. I think that if they only knew what a murderous, brutal person Columbus was when he first landed in the Caribbean, he proceeded immediately to enslave the native peoples there, and if they resisted, he would just kill them or cut off their hands and try to terrorize them into submitting to slavery. And finally, the fort that he established in Haiti, that was the first permanent European settlement. The natives rebelled, and they when Columbus got to that fort, he found that the fort had been destroyed, and then he founded the city of Santo Domingo, and that city descended into chaos. The Spaniards themselves fighting against each other. And Columbus was arrested, put in jail, and he was subsequently released because the Spanish government wanted to mount other expeditions to the Americas. Well, what do Italians have to be proud of? This man who was arrested. By the way, he was arrested and put in jail in Spain twice for the way he practiced genocide in the Caribbean. And you mean to tell me that Italian, of course, they're ignorant of all of this. And I know a lot about this because I have a master's in Latin American history. But I can't believe that Italians, once they know the history, the true history of Columbus, would use this murderer as a symbol of Italian American culture and contributions to the United States.
Well, thank you so much for that, Tom. And you're the person to head that job. Your energy and your proven work for every political organization that you have been a part of, as I say, is proven. Good luck. We're with you. Next up, we have Sister Ann Lamb. Ann, are you in the house? Ann, are you in the house? Okay, we will switch to Gil Obler. Gil, are you in the house?
Hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Your mic is open.
Okay. I guess I wanted to talk about the various forms of resistance. I'm not I'm not hostile to folks that, you know, feel like they have to support the Democrats right now or try to reform the Democratic Party, although I think that in the end that that's a fake resistance that will never bear any fruit. But a lot of good, well-meaning people are still working that route, and so I don't condemn them, even though I think that it, as I said, it won't yield any real resistance to what's been going on. But even in voting, you know, there are alternatives. There's a Green Party. There's the Workers' World Party, the Socialist Party, the African People's Socialist Party that run candidates. So there are other choices, at least in local elections in many cases. And, of course, as you said, voting is not really going to be a solution, but it is in the immediate sense, since an election is coming up, something people can do. But in the end, people have to organize both violent, you know, armed struggle and nonviolent resistance. So in that regard, as you mentioned, this Saturday is a very important event at the People's Forum that you're organizing for Ramona Africa, who's a survivor of the Moon bombing and now has cancer and PTSD. And it's really important that that folks show up there to support Ramona. In addition, right now in St. Louis, the African People's Socialist Party is having their Congress. It's in St. Louis because of a big project they have. The African People's Socialist Party has a real concrete analysis of colonialism as the fundamental problem, even more so than racism. Racism is just the ideology, essentially the ideology of the ruling class and white people to explain colonialism. But the root cause of problems in their analysis is colonialism. And rather than wait for reparations to come from governments, they have this thing called the Black Power Blueprint, which is doing direct reparations in St. Louis to the people of Ferguson and St. Louis, to the black community. And they started by creating an organizing space, but they've also created a market for people. They're creating some affordable, low-cost housing for folks, an art center, et cetera. So these are direct contributions to the black community through a group which I work with, the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. November 6th, they're having an event here, Days of Reparations at Vision Space, 586 7th Avenue. That's Election Day, November 6th, from 7 to 9 p.m. We're also going to be tabling on Sunday at Tompkins Square Park. In addition, I work with the Mumia Abu-Jamal Coalition, which is going to be helping with the event on Saturday. The campaign to bring Mumia home has been doing performance art on the subways to raise awareness of Mumia and other political prisoners. And they're going to be doing a subway event, which they'll be presenting on Saturday, but they have an upcoming event on the subway on Monday, October 22nd, which is a week before Mumia's next hearing, which is on Monday, October 29th. I'm helping organize a bus down to Philadelphia to the courthouse, and we'll have tickets and on Saturday. So people can come to this event Saturday at the People's Forum, and they can learn about Ramona and support her, but they can also make arrangements to be on the bus October 29th down to Philadelphia for Mumia's court hearing. They can learn more about these subway actions. They can get involved with these other types of resistance, such as the African People's Socialist Party and the Uhuru Solidarity Movement. There are lots of ways people can get involved and create real resistance. And so I just want to encourage people to find the path that, you know, the path of resistance that appeals to them.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for that, Gil. You have covered a lot of ground there and made a lot of announcements. We will have you on again next week to continue with those announcements to let people know what's going on. And is are you in the house? Your mic is open. Right, we're going to go to Gwen Goodwin. Are you in the house? Your mic is open. (347) 3620, the last number. Your mic is open.
Yes, hello, Ralph, Sister Betty, everyone on the line. This is Dawood. How are you guys doing?
We are doing excellent, and we are waiting patiently and expectantly for your views on what's happening today or what you think we should be aware of.
Well, I made the call today to thank Ralph. Ralph was on our radio program today speaking about the fundraiser for Ramona, and we want to encourage Ralph Pointer, What's Happening audience, to be there on Saturday at the People's Forum, and if you cannot make it there, to send your support for Ramona. And we will be there with some friends, some members of our organization. Also, we would like to, we know that family listening must have heard that last weekend there was an earthquake, a small earthquake that hit the northwestern part of Haiti. And as usual, you know, the people are left to fend for themselves in situations like this, because government in power in our country, these are puppets of the enemies of our people. But also to let family know that, again, the vultures will be out trying to raise money, to steal money. So we're telling people to be more cautious than the last time, the last earthquake, because that time the Clinton family, they got away with billions of dollars. And to not give your money to the Red Cross, not give your money to organizations that you don't know, that these big entities that claim that they're going to rebuild Haiti better. And, of course, 8 years after the earthquake, the big earthquake in 2010, and, you know, our country is in no better shape than it was before. So I know other folks are waiting to speak. Thank you for the work that you guys are doing, and we will be there on Saturday to bring some love and some support for Sister Ramona. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for that, Dawood. And we know, this audience knows, about the type of economics practiced by imperialists, the American imperial state. And as I say, there was a natural disaster in Haiti, but it was amplified by the unnatural disaster of imperial America. And so we have to, as Dawood said, be careful of the disaster economics as practiced. That is the thievery that is practiced when people are in a situation caused by nature. And we see it's a repeat, and it's a mirror of what happened in Puerto Rico and what happened in Haiti and what happened in Puerto Rico, and back and forth of the nations that are oppressed. But the Cuban nation was able to get out from under this imperialism. And we hope that the day will come when the natural disasters that do come, that the people of Haiti and Cuba, or Haiti and Puerto Rico, will be in the same position as the people in Cuba are, able to help themselves, able to have an economy that is not being totally ripped off by outside forces. Thanks again, Daoud.
And of happy birthday to Lynn.
Thank you. We are going to take a few minutes at the end to give Lynn's speech that she presented at the National Lawyers Guild in October 2003, if we have time. Thanks again for that. Next, we have 7207. Your mic is open.
Hi, I believe that's Coley.
That's right.
Is that Coley
Clark? How are you?
Good, Raph. I'm trying to hold on. Holding on. Well, we've got to hold on. We're in some really tough times. And from Kavanaugh to the Bronx, where our young people have rioted in a prison here last week, and we must this evening begin to rethink how we are going to approach this situation with our young people who are locked away before they get to the Attica's and other places that they probably will be sent to, because the police in New York State have not been trained. They'd rather have their guns and clubs, and they go in with young teenagers, beautiful young teenage men, thinking that they can just run over them. And the young people sent them to the hospitals, and the young people won the day. So we need to look at that, because these young people, the 16 and 17-year-olds, they're mostly, I guess, they're old men. And so we need to look at that and make sure that we move on this, because the black head of this police union who works with young people in prisons, and I don't know who's called what, but they're out here beating the ground for new programs and new laws to give them power rather than to give them training. So rather than having trained police, and we can see that now that they're not trained, and that's why they're shooting, and that's why they're running in and beating up on people, batching them and ganging them, it's because they're not trained to police. Young boys, 16 and 17-year-olds, can send scores of New York policemen to the hospital and are running for their lives. Young boys. Because these men are not trained. And so we must begin to look at that, so we're not talking about people with guns and bats, but we're talking about people who are trained to work with these young folks. But I think that's our job, and we need to get on that quick. Same thing with the 13th Amendment, holding on to something that we know is grounded in the Constitution, and the Constitution is grounded in slavery. We need to look at all of these things. But I want to say to everybody that's spoken this evening, that I'm coming back, and I will be talking about looking at the African experience beginning with the Civil War forward. But I've just got to hold off for a while. I got a lot of stuff happening in my family. So I want to salute everybody that's spoken. It's been really some wonderful, wonderful ideas here this evening, and I just really hope we can move forward on them. And as for IT, we need to keep her in our hopes, our dreams, our prayers, as we begin to get back on the battlefield, because we're going to have to go back, because those earthquakes and storms may seem natural, but they are unnatural when they are coming against a landscape that has been destroyed by the United States of America, including its agriculture, with our president saying to the world that he destroyed Haiti's agriculture. We have got to deal with this, because Haiti is an occupied nation. The UN has not left. America continues to control, and we cannot have that happen. And we need to say to France and say to her clearly, you're going to pay those billions of dollars that you owe Haiti in reparations. But then we need to say that to America about what is owed to the Africans and indigenous population in this land. So I salute my ancestors, the indigenous populations in America, and I salute the Africans who are here, and we must organize. And it's got to be from the ground up, folks. We cannot any longer play around with organizing. It has to be ground up, and we have got to get on with that business and do it quickly. But right now, my primary interest is looking immediately at what's happening to the young men right here in the Bronx, in the youth centers, where police who are untrained are asking for deadly force against these young folks.
Thank you so much for that, Colia. And what we've been talking about is the disaster capitalism that Naomi Klein outlined so well in her book. And as for police training, I read an article that said that the conviction of the police officer in Chicago was when the plan did not work. The the plan to always works is to kill the young, the police, to kill the young and not be convicted. That's when it's working. That's what they are trained to do. But when this went wrong...
No damn training.
America trains them. It is in the DNA of America. It is racism. It is an insanity, an inability to perceive reality. The belief that skin color makes one superior. But I could go on all day with that. And there is one viewpoint that says this is what they are trained to do. Starting out as before they were police, they were slave catchers. And then it morphed into a police department. But that's for a later time. And we're going to move on. 4407, Ann, are you in the house?
I am in the house. I have arrived.
Your word.
I am here.
More reports on political prisoners.
Okay, well, here we are. It is the October 9th, right? So I hope people have been busy doing what we have asked them to do for our brothers, the Virgin Islands Three, who have been in prison for 46 years and who should not be in prison at all. We have a campaign going to the Governor Kenneth Mapp. He is the governor of the Virgin Islands, and these brothers were convicted in the Virgin Islands. They're currently in a private prison, private prison in Tallahatchie, Florida, called Tallahatchie, of course, correctional facility. And it's causing the state a lot of money to take care of these brothers because, you know, they're older, they have deteriorating medical conditions, there's certainly no threat to the community, because when they were housed in St. Croix, they were actually allowed to go out in the community to religious services, sometimes unsupervised, with no issues, right? So we're asking people to get in touch with this governor and request or implore or demand that he commute their sentences to time served and let them. He said this when he was running for election, that he would commute their sentences, but of course he has not done so. So if you would write a nice letter to the governor there, and since it is now the second week of October, you can fax your letter to the governor's office at 340-693-4374. All this information is right on the front page of JerichoNY.org, so people should go and do this for these brothers. They certainly did a lot for everybody else. I also have a small update from, well, I have a update from Mr. Jaleel Muntakim, who we saw on Sunday. He sends his regards to everybody. And also spoke with Joy Powell, you know, Reverend Joy Powell here. She's an amazing person. She had asked me to send her like a small food package, not a bunch of stuff, you know, not a full food package. So I went, I put that in the mail on Wednesday. And according to the post office, it arrived at Bedford Hills on Saturday morning at 7:22 a.m. As of Monday, they still had not given her the food package, right? So this just goes to the same thing that we were just talking about the mentality of these people. The mentality of these COs is the same as the mentality of the cops. You know, they think their job is to make everybody's life miserable, to treat the prisoners as if they're animals, not humans. You know, because it's not just Joy. She said a whole bunch of people had visits on Friday, and people bought food packages, and here it is Monday, and they still don't have it. So when she called me on Monday, I said, I will call them immediate month. I called three separate times and let the phone ring until they finally cut me off. So probably like 35 rings to the phone. You can be sure they were sitting right there looking at the phone, but they weren't going to pick it up because it's a quote-unquote holiday. Therefore, we don't have to answer the phones. You know, I mean, these are some of the laziest people you would ever want to meet. Huh? Our tax dollars are paying for them to sit around and do nothing all day. Really.
Amen.
And there was no reason there's no reason for them to be withholding a bunch of food packages for a bunch of women. And this affects everybody. The families are spending time and money to go and get food that they know people like, bring it there, and then you expect the person to get the package at the end of their visit and not be told 2 and 3 days later they still don't have it. And that also means that the families are double spending money because I sent her things and I wrote on the box perishable. And so by the time she got it, half of it probably had to be thrown away. So, you know, that costs the families and the people who support the prisoners money and time because they have to go out and then rebuy everything, you know. And, you know, these COs are just out of control when it comes to this stuff, you know. Poor woman is already running around with a broken arm, thanks to CEO Olivio. So, you know, it's really insane the way the women really are being treated. And that's in addition to the fact of what I said last week, that Joy Powell has been banned from the library because she was observing this one particular CO who would, you know, disappear for half an hour to 45 minutes with one woman one day, disappear for half an hour to 45 minutes with another woman the other day. These women cannot give consent. They are in the power of these COs. And if you did say no to one of them, you would probably be retaliated against. So that's rape. You know, so let's be clear that, you know, these horrible places where people are being kept, including the one you mentioned, Colia, you know, this new place in the Bronx, are really, you know, not good places for people to be, to say the least. You know, and they do have some obligation. They do have, you know, they're supposed to abide by the Constitution. They're supposed to provide certain things, and they're not doing it. And they only get away with it because people are not paying attention. And people need to pay attention to what's going on in the prisons. You know, I talked last week about the BOP changing all the rules for mail. You know what's going on in Pennsylvania with the mail. You know, this is like ridiculous that now prisoners can't even get like a birthday card or a Mother's Day card or a Father's Day card if they're in the Feds or if they're in Pennsylvania. You know, and that's might seem like a little thing, but it means a lot to people. You know, when they're on the inside, that they get a nice card from somebody. You know, so these kind of things are like draconian, and they're just being, you know, implemented little by little in hopes that nobody is really paying attention. But we are paying attention. And I think that everybody needs to pay a lot of attention to what goes on in the prisons. Anybody who is a prisoner who speaks to you can tell you what goes on. And you should really listen and take it seriously because this is what is happening. And not only is there slavery because the prisoners are slaves, according to the Constitution, but there's also constant abuse going on, constant abuse. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that, you know, we need to all stand up together and say, no, we're not taking this, you know. You know, somebody can be accused of killing a police officer and be told they should never get out of prison. But a cop who shot a kid 16 times in the back is only going to do 10 to 15 years max. So
excuse
where's
me.
Equal justice?
That's 5 years. I will eat this desk. But and if you follow the history of those few police officers that were convicted of killing unarmed black youth, black people, black women, they do little or no time. But we're going to have to switch to Richie. The number is... Your mic is open.
Hello, everybody. This is
Richie
Anarchist. I thought since we're honoring Ramona Africa on Saturday, I'd do a little something that Bobby Sands wrote from his prison cell and in Sunday Strike, the prison cell.
There you go.
I can't think of anybody that is going through what Ramona has been through that is known around the world as one of our worldwide freedom fighters that was tortured by the English government and was never allowed to be considered a political prisoner. And he wrote something, and what he went through, I've been reading his book, I think everybody should get, an unfinished song, Bobby Sands, the Irish hunger striker, reunited a generation. I think everybody's Irish should know who Bobby Sands is. If not, they should find out. Mm-hmm. And I thought I'd read this quick. I know time is running short. I'm a political prisoner. I am a political prisoner because I am a casualty of a perennial war that is being fought between the oppressed Irish people and an alien oppressor, unwanted regime that refuses to withdraw from our land. I believe and stand by the God-given right of the Irish nation to sovereign independence and the right of any Irishman or any woman to assert this right in armed revolution. This is why I am incarcerated, naked, and tortured. I am dying not just to attempt to end the brutality of H Block, but to gain the rightful recognition of a political prisoner. They're primary because what is lost is in here is lost for the Republic and those wretched oppressed whom I deeply proud know as a risen people. And this is what Ramona is all about, Africa. Her stance to say, I will never be considered a prisoner. I am a member of the MOVE family. I will not denounce John Africa. I will not denounce what I believe in. And the conditions of Bobby Sands' prison were so horrible, they're even hard to describe, but maybe I can describe it in one word. The purple marks on his chest and arms are blood vessels that have been broken down and collapsed. His eyesight is being permanently damaged. His vital organs are under intense strain. There are a number of ways in which he may die. A brain tumor or a massive coronary attack. His kidneys or liver could collapse. But he said, look, don't be listening to them, he replied, because they're trying to break me. They think they can break me through you. Then you stay strong because I will stay strong. I say this to my dear brother who passed away of AIDS, who taught me everything and kept me going and got me here, George F. Deegan Jr., Vietnam vet hippie, who was brainwashed to go to Vietnam. And I dedicate that to all the people that will be there Saturday. And I want to let other people talk now, but I hope you like what I said.
Thank you so much for that, Richie, because we always have time for political prisoners. And being that this is Lynn's birthday, I'm just going to read a brief paragraph of her speech in Minnesota, the closing of the Guild program, October 26, 2003. Listen to these words that were spoken 15 years ago. For we have formidable enemies, not unlike those in the tales of ancient days. There is a consummate evil that unleashes its dogs of war on the helpless, an enemy motivated only by insatiable greed. The miller's daughter made to spin gold, the fisherman's wife, Midas, all with no thought of consequences. In this enemy, there is no love of the land or the creatures that live there, no compassion for the people. This enemy will destroy the air we breathe and the water we drink, as long as dollars keep filling up their money boxes. We now resume our everyday lives, but we have been charged once again with and for our quest. And like Hippolyta and her Amazons, like David going forth to meet Goliath, like Beowulf the Dragon Slayer, like Queen Zenobia who made war on the Romans, like Sir Galahad seeking the Holy Grail, and modern-day heroes, dare I mention, Ho, Mao, Lenin, Fidel, Nelson Mandela, and John Brown. And as Che Guevara, who reminds us, at the risk of seeming ridiculous, let me say that the true revolutionary is guided by a great feeling of love. Our quest, like theirs, are to shake the very foundations of the continent. We go out to stop police brutality, to rescue the imprisoned, to change those who never ever been able to get to the starting line, much less run the race, because mental in ego and in water and
we will live, she will live, Lynn will live and not die. She will live, she will live.
It would be to be free. I wish I could break all the chains
that are holding me.
I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them
loud,
say them clear,
for
the whole round
world
to
hear.
I wish I could share all the love.
Words must be enough. When I say the things everyone's heart must be torn to shreds. That you will go down if you don't stand up for yourself. Surely you see that. Go forth, do justice. Thank you, my brothers and sisters, for listening.